We're now recording.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the DSSA call on the 11th of August. And on the line, we have Rafik Damak, Cheryl Langdonore, Mikey O'Connor, Eric Brenner-Williams, Adam Palmer, Takasuyu Matsura, Don Blumenthal, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, and on the Adobe Connect, we have Rosella Mattioli and Andrew Delahaye. I believe they are just going to be on Adobe Connect. And for staff, we have Bart Boswinkel, who is also on Adobe Connect, who will not be on the call itself, Patrick Jones, and myself, Glenn de Saint-Jury. Have I left off anybody? And for apologies, for those who cannot be on the call today, we have apologies from Jim Galvin, André Philippe, Mark Costas, Wim de Kesela, Katrina Sataki, Richard Wilhelm, and Bart says he can only be on the call for the half of it because he has a conflict with another call. Thank you, Mikey. Over to you.
Thanks a lot, Glenn, and welcome everybody to the call today. We'll just do our usual thing and take a quick moment to check and see if anybody wants to alert us to a change in their status in terms of their statement of interest. Okay. Today we're going to continue summarizing the Singapore work, and so what you see on the screen is the
blackness.
Oh, and if folks could mute their phones when they're not speaking, people, you have enough people on the call that we'll get background noise otherwise. Anyway, for those of you who've been through this before, this is the summary of the charts that we prepared in Singapore in what's called mind mapping format. And what we'll do, I think, today is just see if we can clump these together. Our habit is to sort of go group by group and let them summarize their work. And has everybody got a black screen, or is Eric?
I've got a black screen, yep.
Well, that's a pain in the neck. Hang on a minute. Let me see if I can get that fixed. Oh, I see what happened. All right. How about now? Better?
Not yet.
Better.
We can see your little mouse wandering around. We just don't see anything else.
I've got the email list.
How about that?
Hey!
There we go. Sorry. Thank you, Eric.
Let there be light.
Let there be light. It's a good thing that Eric was...
And emails.
...fed into the chat for us. So here we go. All right. So now we can see it. I could see it fine on my screen. I don't know what the problem for the rest of you was. Actually, I do. Sorry about that. Anyway, it's kind of an eye chart right now. I'm going to make it a little bit bigger as we concentrate on the individual ones. And I was curious if anybody wanted to go first. It looks like we have Katrina, Roy, Mark, Olivier, and who did we decide our question mark person was? Was that maybe... Anyway, we'll go through these one by one. And I think that the goal today is mostly to put these in some sort of a taxonomy and begin to compress out the duplicates. It clearly will take us several calls to get through this, so I'm not feeling any urgency to get through the whole thing. Mark, are you on the call today? No. He has regrets, I think. Well, let's start with Mark's anyway. A little bigger.
Mikey Marcus sent his regrets.
Yeah. I just saw that.
Mikey Marcus sent his regrets.
Ooh, there's a spectacular echo. Is everybody getting a 5-second echo like that?
5-second echo?
Oh, yeah. But once again, everybody, if we could make sure that we're muting our speakers on our computers. Maybe mute your telephone lines, too, if you can. I don't know. 5 seconds is quite a long delay. I don't know quite how that's happening. Anyway, Mark's group was the group of people that were on the phone.
Mark's group was the group.
Oh, this is driving me crazy.
Somebody must have their Cheryl here. Someone must have their the speakers on their computer on as well.
Yeah.
The only answer for that sort of delay, I think.
Yeah, listen to that. Oh, that's the first time I've ever heard an echo that long.
First time.
Is anybody coming in through Skype or coming in through some sort of internet-based thing? Because that could introduce that much delay. If you are. Eric, yeah, it might be you. If there's a way to mute one side of that, that would be great. Well, anyway. Okay. Try and get the audio. It does sound better now. Okay. I'm going to do the usual thing. Or we'll do threats summary like this, and we'll start dragging things into it. So I think what happened in this particular group was that they started is there anybody else that was in the on-phone group during Singapore that is on this call that could take us through this, or are we going to count on Mikey's lame summary talents again? Okay, it's Mikey's lame summary. This one I understand. This is an infrastructure thing. We'll put the infrastructure one up there. That's clearly part of a taxonomy. Then there are a whole series of attacks. Put those in the tag. That. DDoS.
Mikey, could you just speak up a little?
Yeah, sorry, I'm mumbling again. Thanks, Cheryl.
Mm, thank you.
Disasters was a theme. Put that in its own kind of group. I'm not sure what that group is yet. Can somebody help me out with an IDN? What is an IDN attack? Is that just another in the attack group for now, or is it a different kind?
Well, I know what IDN is, but I'm not sure why any sort of denial of service or other sort of attack would be different between one script and another.
Well, at this point, I'm just interested in kind of getting them into clumps, and then what we can do is sort of, I think each of these is going to have to get a bit of a definition.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure that it's not a completely different kind of thing. Border DNS.
This is Edmund. I think I heard IDN tag. Was that the question? I can probably share a little bit more.
Kind of an attack that was, Edmund.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm in a very noisy area, but well, IDN tag is really just the language tag for an IDN registration usually, and you know, so if it's identified as Chinese or Japanese, then in the registration process you would assign a tag to the IDN. That's what IDN tag is. But I'm sorry, I joined a little bit late. Probably I didn't know what the context of that, how that was brought up.
Edmund, I appreciate, if I may just follow up for that. Edmund, I appreciate you're in a noisy area, but actually it was an IDN ATAC, A-T. So not a tag, but an attack, A-T-T-A-C-K.
Ah, I see. All right. So I guess that's possibly things like... phishing attacks using different characters that look alike characters and those type of things.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
Okay, so it's exploiting certain qualities of script variability for, in inverted commas, standard exploitation techniques.
I would guess that's what it's talking about, yes.
Okay. And that was an Edmund and Cheryl duet.
And a very nice one it was, too. I'm typing the results of that. Okay. Anybody want to take a crack at what needs to border DNS might have meant? Same vein. Not sure what that would be. So then, another is sort of vulnerabilities.
I think that's more geek requirement info than I can offer.
I mean, I don't know that one. I think a few of these, what we'll do is we'll put in an action item for clarification. So.
Olivia, you're a geek.
Didn't even get a rise out of Olivia.
Oh,
yes, I am indeed. Olivia speaking, I am indeed, but I'm also baffled by DNS border. I'm currently trying to think of this. I can imagine border gateway protocol and routing of packets, but nothing to do with the DNS as such. So I'm currently scouring the net to try and make sense of it. Thanks.
We'll punt that into the geeks are working on it,
and we'll get back to us.
Yeah. Well, and we'll put a little action item for Mark to... clarify those for us rather than getting... Otherwise, what we could do is we could just be guys and we could invent things. That's probably not a good idea.
Sorry, I sound like I'm having far too much fun for a work group call. I'll settle down.
Yeah, you are too much fun. That's what happens when people are on late at night. You know, they get frisky. Not like us poor morning people who are just dragging through our first cup of coffee.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
So, I'm going to move over to Roy's pile. Whoop. Do this without confusing myself. And I see a theme here that physical disasters and natural disasters and acts of war and terror sort of all go into, I don't know what to call that, something like external events, maybe? Call it that for now.
Non-internet protocol events?
No.
Non-IP events?
Like that. Okay. Bugs. bugs. That seems like goes in vulnerabilities. That seems like it goes in with service tags. Spam. I don't exactly know where to put that. Was anybody... Roy, are you on the call? Oh, Eric's got his hand up. Sorry, I've got too many visual stimuli. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, I was wondering if that was the case. Busy driving around the middle of the screen and not looking at the right.
Yeah. Well, I've got three screens going at once. And I...
What the border stuff might be, and sort of in the making it up category, there's... the synthetic rewrite modification of content in flight activity that's documented in several papers, which is a threat against the integrity of the DNS created by, well, presently created by monetizing ISPs and other parties, which are basically intercepting on end-user resolution events to generate monetized returns. So that's a something which takes place at the border of ISP.
Oh, so this is the one up here that you're thinking. Is that one?
Yeah, under the guys making things up category, that's my toss of a dart.
Good job. So is one of the things that you put in the chat?
Yeah. The EFF paper, the Zhang paper, there's another paper. I've got half a dozen of them on my machine, but it's 6 a.m. here.
Oof.
I'm lucky I can find my coffee cup.
I was going to say, hopefully with coffee to hand, yeah.
But I'll steal your chat thing and stick it underneath the...
Fine.
That way we've captured that at least in
Patrick has his hand up, Mikey. Just thought I'd help you from the bleachers here.
Thank you. Patrick, go ahead.
So I put my comment in chat, but I think I know you're trying to move things around for natural categories, but it might be useful if you try to keep a distinction between things that are leveraging the DNS versus things that threats against the infrastructure itself. That's just my observation. It would be good to have discussion from others on the call if that's a good distinction between categories.
Give them to me again and we'll capture them at a minimum.
Well, they're already up there.
So go ahead.
One heading is threats that leverage the DNS. And the other is threats against the underlying infrastructure. That's one way to do it. It's not the only way, and it would be good if others on the call had opinions one way or the other.
And one of the things to remember is that we can have multiple views of this. So it's fine to have several different ways to slice this, and that's why I'm so enthusiastic about capturing these, because we may indeed find that there are a whole bunch of different ways to slice this stuff. Okay, so maybe I'm going to make a thing. Let's see. Hands up. Eric, is that an old hand or a new hand?
It's my other hand.
It's your other hand. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think I understand what Patrick I understand something from what Patrick said, which is there is a meaningful difference between walking into a facility and pulling the plug, that is a physical attack on the service offered by the facility, and things which are achievable through exploiting the DNS. Allow me, though, to suggest that there is something in between those which just makes life more wonderful and confusing. So take the example of the Egyptian withdrawal of prefixes. Had the withdrawal of prefixes been followed immediately by a re-announcement of the prefixes and then followed immediately by a withdrawal announcement and then by another availability, route flap would have been created, and this route flap could have propagated into the default free zone. And so all the routers in creation could be busy trying to recalculate what the global reachability table looks like and be unable to actually forward packets. So DNS service would fail at some arbitrary location on the surface of the Earth because someone in Egypt was flipping the lights on and off very rapidly. So that's where we have a physical effect that appears to be local in its scope, but actually due to the, in effect, a latent defect or effect in BGP4, actually at the becomes a protocol attack, and the attack vector is global in nature since it reaches default free zone. Thank you very much.
Would you, so I think what I heard you driving towards, Eric, is that in addition to the two that Patrick put in that taxonomy, there's maybe one more in between those two?
Yes, that you can turn on the lights in some place and actually turn off the lights someplace else because of that. Action at a distance.
So could that be considered part of the threats that leverage the DNS?
No, I think that's actually an attack on the protocol layer below the DNS.
That's what I was going for. Protocol.
Yeah, DNS is something above transport, so this is actually an attack on the routing layer or on the ability to, via TCP, push tables around and recalculate them, push table updates around, and then calculate the IP table. So whether you call it a attack on layer 4 or layer 3 is really a matter of taste, but it's not.
So if we said that the underlying infrastructure is sort of layer 1 kind of stuff,
then you'll confuse everyone.
Yeah.
Layer 1 means wires.
Yeah, physical things. I guess what I'm thinking is maybe there's that what we're getting at here is sort of a taxonomy based on a stack, in which case there would also be a layer above this.
Well, it really isn't necessarily because of layers so much as it's because there is the possibility of triggering what's called route flap within BGP4, so
yeah,
it's sort of a feature of BGP.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. I was just wondering if in this taxonomy we would want, in addition to the...
Well, the problem with the taxa by layers is that it overlooks the an alternate taxa, if you will, which is that this is a race condition in a protocol.
Yeah.
So...
Okay.
It overlooks the temporal nature of the attack and substitutes for the actual vector of attack, which is the temporal property of the protocol, by the layerist notion of what the protocol is in a stack, which is actually unrelated to the actual bug or exploit. So if you were to create a taxonomy that dealt with this, it would be a temporal taxonomy. It doesn't matter if you turn the lights on and then off slowly with lots of time in between them. It matters if you turn the lights on and off rapidly.
So,
it's not about turning on and off the lights. It's about how frequently state change occurs and state change is propagated across a bunch of stateful devices. And with that, I'll shut up.
Oh, you're doing fine. You're doing fine, Eric. Just fine. But what if I did it like this? What if I put yours in? So there's a layer kind of set of taxonomies, maybe, maybe not. And then there are temporal kinds of taxonomies. About that as a way to capture your point. I'm getting a nibble from somebody. I'm going to give Olivier the floor. Olivier, go ahead.
Thank you, Mikey, Olivier, for the transcript record. I was just going to add onto the needs to border DNS part. I've read a little bit and seen that border DNS servers are DNS servers that do not carry the same information as the hierarchy. So it effectively means that although you might have a single route, it will not actually give you answers back shared with the rest of the network. So they will serve perhaps a local area network. They will serve a sub-network, and it actually works as a network that is...
I think we have somebody asleep.
Yes, it's Cheryl's husband. Don't worry about it.
It's Cheryl's husband. No worries.
Okay, so split view is what Olivier is pointing out.
So, yeah, split DNS, effectively, I think. And what you have is the concept of a single DNS being endangered by the idea of having DNS servers that do not provide the same answer as others and that are there to gear towards a specific network. This is often found in networks which are firewalled from the outside world, and I have read a couple of papers just now, internet drafts in IETF, which originate from China.
So could we compress that thought into something short enough for Mikey to type? And I'm assuming, Olivier, that that's going up into this border DNS category.
I believe so, yeah. No single authoritative DNS or something to that extent, or lack of DNS response integrity or something which effectively endangers the integrity of the DNS itself. Because what you're looking at is, if you're going to ask two different servers, you should get the same answer, but you don't.
So does that little thingy that I just typed sort of capture your thought well enough that we can get back to
it? Yeah, that sounds good. Okay. I think it's one idea. Thank you.
Yeah, and so then if we did that with Eric's and your clarification, can we pull this down into our summary somehow? Where would it go?
I'm wondering whether it would go, and it's Olivier again, I'm wondering whether it would go under possible hierarchies.
Okay, put it sort of down as a peer with these other two. Like that. Does that work? We'll do it for now. Okay. Eric, go ahead.
Thank you. I want to suggest that there is utility in making a distinction between split DNS, which is routinely done at organizational levels within operational network contexts, and the existence of other root server constellations than the ones which are associated with the IANA root. These are very different notions of intentional inconsistency. Thank you.
Being a kind of screen-focused kind of guy, what would you say to summarize it, and where would you put it in this sort of emerging pile of threats, Eric?
Well, I believe split DNS is something that can be attacked, and administrative correctness, which may be described as inconsistency from a variety of viewpoints, not characterized as the same thing. So if I can piggyback on Olivier's comment, split DNS is one thing, what China does, because the IANA root is broken is another.
Okay, so this half is the split DNS half, right?
Is that the one that you're currently at, the no single authoritative DNS?
Yeah.
No, I think that's a reference to there being an alternate root server constellation within China.
Okay, so maybe...
I don't think anybody writes IAB notes that condemn Xerox operating its own internal DNS using RFC 1918 address space as the addresses to which names map, which is what split provides.
You said
so one to be abstract. One is about addresses which are private, that is 1918 addresses. The other is about addresses which are globally routed.
Right.
So, are the namespaces associated with these underlying address resources globally unique, or are they locally unique? Knowing that the addresses are either globally unique or locally unique.
Yeah, Eric, the only trouble I'm having is trying to summarize what you're
saying. And to Patrick, I really wouldn't try to say that this is an alternate route versus global route. From the perspective of China, it's of equal value, and we are not doing ourselves a favor by deciding in advance that they're wrong. That hasn't really worked very well.
I'm just trying to capture. I'm going to just slap the thing that Patrick typed into the chat so that we capture it. Clearly, we're going to have a long conversation about that, but let's try and get back to kind of pulling these together for now rather than doing new ones. Olivier, go ahead.
Thank you, Mikey. Olivier, for the record. Yes, I think there is a distinction to be made between the alternate routes and the alternate answers that one gets from local area networks. But I think that what might have been meant by border DNS was to do with any possible extensions of carrier-grade NAT, which might require then an alternate DNS in something wider than a local area network or a private network or using private address space. So that might be it. Then again, I think we might be just diverging and going a little bit too deep there if we're going to look at a top-level diagram, and maybe that will be one specific subject, which, as you said, we will spend plenty of time on. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's right. Actually, I just noticed that we're halfway through the call, so what I'm going to do is transition us. I didn't expect to summarize this in one call, never mind cover the additions to it. And so expect to see this one again next time. But what I want to do is circle us back to the criteria discussion that we started last week. And I think that what we're going to find is that as we do both of these conversations, they sort of inform each other. So let me change windows on you. Let me save this first so that I don't... Here's the criteria one that we started working on last week. Bit of an eye chart again. If people are having a hard time seeing it, let me know. Otherwise, I'll stay completely zoomed out like this for the moment. And if it's too hard to read and you want a copy to read on your own. I always publish these at the end of the calls to the wiki. And so out on the wiki page, there's a page for these, for each of these topics, threats, criteria, and handling confidential information. And so if you want a copy of this just to open on your machine, there's a copy out on the wiki to do that. What we found in the call last week is that we had started to come up with the beginnings of a taxonomy, which we had a number of criteria that had to do with security, clearly a large number of them that had to do with stability. We had the issue of these things probably change depending on your point of view. And then we had some leftovers that we just didn't have time to get into our consolidated pile. And so what I want to do is finish this and then sort of call it a day on this one. Because I think what we're going to find is that after we've consolidated them, then there's plenty of material for discussion. But I really just want to finish the consolidation of this one today. And again, this was the work of one of the groups, and I've now kind of lost track of which group it is, but if we could find homes for these, they're all sort of infrastructure type items. Again, we're in criteria mode, not threat mode now. Where would we want to put this? Would this be sort of reading the whole thing as I speak? York, go ahead. Oh, you may be muted, York. Unmute.
Okay, yeah, this is York Schweiger for the record.
There you go.
I think you can summarize them under something like sufficient provisioning of infrastructure building blocks.
Oh, just retitle this?
Something like, yeah, sufficient provisioning of infrastructure building blocks.
And then put it in where? System integrity? We've got an infrastructure tag in there. Maybe we just add that.
Yeah. But I doubt that it's got to do with something with integrity. Maybe it's just a criteria one level up setting for itself.
Okay. So up here. Like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good deal. We're really close on this one. We have one more, timely response, which seems like lives in the process integrity. Or, well, you know, that one could live in both. Because we've got sort of a response time component to security. Any thoughts on that? Jorg, is that an old hand or a new one? Mute it again if it's a new one. Oop, and went away. Okay. Well, for now, put it at a minimum in process integrity. Could even go in incident response, I suppose. Okay, Scott, is Scott on the call? wanted to hear from Scott on a few of these. He had. Okay. I'm going to call the criteria one summarized, with the exception of those dangling participles, because I know Mark isn't on the call either. And wanted to pause for a moment and see how you as a group would like to proceed next. One option that occurs to me is that we could, now that we've smashed all the charts that we drew together, we could start discussing each part of this. But another approach would be to have somebody kind of go off and do a sanity check edit on this first. Not me, but somebody. If people felt like that was useful. I sort of wanted to see how people wanted to tackle this from here. Somebody's got their phone unmuted and they're making kind of a clinking, maybe glassware kind of sound. Pretty intriguing. Any thoughts on how to proceed? If I don't hear anything, I think what we'll go ahead and do is start going through this piece by piece as a group, at least for a while. See where we get. But I was curious if people wanted to do an edit on it first. Not hearing.
Mikey, this is Eric. I actually don't know what this refers to at this point in time.
Well, this
are we still talking about threats, or are we talking about some other
thing
that got mashed together?
We're talking about what's on the screen, which is a similar diagram to the threat diagram, but it's a diagram of the results of Singapore, the conversation about criteria to determine the current state of security and stability of the DNS. Let's go ahead and just take a few minutes on a small one. A little bit. All we did with this security area was combine the titles. And I think now it's not a bad idea to start refining this and discussing it, to see if there are things that need to be added to this list of criteria for the security of the DNS, if these need to go into some sort of a taxonomy, if we can expand some of them, things like that. And if we get stuck, if the conversation sort of continues to be sort of silent like this, I'm also willing to sort of set criteria aside for a while, because clearly the threats discussion is going to occupy us for several meetings at least, and maybe that's the place to focus our attention. So, I'll take a quick sense of the group on that. Would people rather just switch back to threats at this point and keep working on that? Let's do that for now. And the ops kids can sort of take a look at these and see what we want to do next. If we go back to the threats diagram, which is where we started the call, and we continue on to Roy's list, which is this list over here, if we took spam as a threat to the DNS, what would that mean, and where would it go on in this sort of emerging taxonomy that we've got? Anybody want to sort of expand on that? I was sort of trying to figure out what that meant as a threat to the DNS. York, go ahead. York, you may be muted. Sorry about that.
Nope.
There you go.
Yeah, York, for the record. I doubt that spam really is a threat to the DNS. That's just my 5 cents.
Well,
so
I've got a guy in the queue right behind you that might have some good contribution there. John is a pretty big deal guy on spam. John, why don't you go ahead?
I can give you some arcane theories, although I tend to agree that as DNS threats go, it's not really large. As soon as you move to IPv6 with the enormous address space and you have spammers hopping from IP address to IP address, like every time you look up, like it is fairly common for mail servers to do a reverse DNS lookup on the IP address of each incoming message. If every spam message comes from a different IP address, it's going to basically be doing billions of uncacheable lookups, and it's going to make DNS caches melt. This is not everybody agrees with this, but in the mail community, people agree this is at least plausible enough to be worth thinking about. I don't know if that's what he had in mind, but that's the main threat I can think about. It's just that the larger IPv6 address space and the large volume of spam messages makes it an indirect and probably not deliberate attack on the DNS. Want me to go through that again for anybody who didn't understand what I said?
I kind of followed it. See what I'm typing in there and see whether this... makes sense, John.
Yeah, it's both volume related, and also the query pattern makes normal caches not work.
Which kind of caching? DNS caching?
Regular DNS caching, yeah. I mean, DNS caching assumes that you're going to, I mean, like any cache, assumes that you're going to get repeated queries for the same thing. And since the V4 address space is comparatively small, you tend to get multiple mail messages from the same host. So the cache does what it's supposed to.
This is clearly colloquial note-taking, but
yeah,
can easily be. Well, you know that. That's a plausible theory. It's one we could certainly argue about. Where would it go over here in this hierarchy?
I say it's your.
It's not really an attack. It's really kind of an almost unintentional.
It's somewhere between an attack and a vulnerability.
Do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the presumption is the spammers would be unlikely to do this with their goal being to wreck the DNS. Although it's possible that sort of an intermediate stage on the way to defeating the DNS-based anti-spam techniques that people use.
So maybe it is a vulnerability more than an attack. For the most part. You know, if we put attacks as things that people do on purpose and vulnerabilities, well, no, not really. No, you're right. David.
Yeah, I mean they're doing it on purpose, but they're not. Well, you know, it's like
yeah, they may not be.
Yes, I think this. I think what we just demonstrated is that in real life, every taxonomy, no matter how beautiful, has things that don't quite.
Yeah, it has fuzzy things that don't fit. And the main thing, I really don't want to lose things just because they don't fit in a taxonomy, especially this early in developing it. So we'll leave it up there. Thanks, John. Olivier, go ahead.
Thank you, Mikey. I was just going to mention for the record that there actually is currently a religious war going on in one of the discussion lists specific to IPv6 with regards to having SMTP mailers needing a valid reverse IP address. Some don't think that it's needed. Some think it is. Some think that it has fallen behind the times and people don't bother. And some others think that the DNS is so broken already many operators don't bother. So it might be, yet again, another huge subject for discussion. Thanks very much.
So is that broader than just spam? And so as a result, rather than putting spam as the heading, the heading under which this sits is a broader thing?
It's related to email specifically. I would say spam specifically, but email. And yes, spammers do make use of this, and some anti-spam systems do make use of checking for the reverse DNS, reverse IP, and if it doesn't have one, then it will not accept the email. But with IPv6 coming up and things not being set up properly, it might well be that a lot of genuine mail gets rejected by this. But yet again, maybe we're not going to go deep into the subject, but listed here. Thanks.
Yeah, this is clearly one that we will be able to take a much deeper dive on when we come back to it. So for now, I think we'll capture it this way, and hopefully there's enough notes there that will remind us of this discussion. If there isn't, let me know, because I could add something about something along the lines of
reverse DNS. Olivier, for the record.
Reverse DNS in SMTP servers? That's primarily where that...
Reverse DNS for SMTP servers. Thanks.
All this issue. Enough of a reminder. Luis, go ahead.
Yes. Yes, I thought this kind of attack could be a kind of indirect attack, like configure, where the hacker or the spammers have a different target. But in the way they use DNS, it's my thought.
So would you there's direct attack.
Some kind of attack, but indirect.
Under there like that? Kind of like the distinction between direct and indirect attacks. Let's capture that for future thinking. Thanks, Luis. That's great. Let's move on to... No, let's not move on. It's 3 minutes to the top of the hour. This is a very good place to stop. Sorry about that. I lost track of time. I think we'll pause here and just pick it up in the exact same spot on our next call. Clearly, we've got plenty of material to get through, and then once we get through just just consolidating it, we are going to have lots of conversation clarifying and refining this. But I want to take a moment and make sure that this process feels okay to people. I think we're doing great, and just want to make sure that I am not delusional, because I think that this is going to feel a bit slow for a while until we get some themes emerging, and I think we're doing a terrific job. So getting a few little thumbs up out there in participant land, so good. We'll keep doing this, and I'll publish this, the current state of affairs, so that you can look at it, and maybe it would be good for all of us to sort of take a look at this and start to think about possible taxonomies that we're not capturing yet. I mean, maybe this is, I do want to get this into some taxonomies, otherwise it becomes completely unwieldy. But I think we're off to a great start. So with that, it's the top of the hour. I thank you all, and I'll see you in a week.
Thanks, Mikey.
Hi.
Glenn, I think we can stop the recording. Do stuff like that. You're still on the call. Who's the operator on the call today?
Hi, it's Ricardo here.
Mikey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I was on mute, sorry.
There you go.
Yes. Ricardo, can you hear us?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you. Can you stop the recording, please? And thank you very much for taking such good care of the call.
No problem. My pleasure.
Thank
Great
you.
Job to both of you.
thank you, Mikey.
Thanks a million.